Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
I come to you from Detroit, Michigan, where I record on land belonging to the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi, and Wyandotte nations.
And I come to you from Santa Elena, Medellin, where I am recording on land belonging to the Karina peoples.
Mm-hmm. These are some of many nations still very much out here doing their thing, and we would like to acknowledge that. Beyond Reproach is the show about scandals and scandalousness in American politics and government. So today we're doing the mini thing. We're going to talk about whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, so it is Black History Month. Happy Black History Month to everyone who celebrates, which should be everyone.
Everyone. Everyone listening.
Everyone listening, yeah, for sure. So last week in my scandal, I touched upon the critical role of the Black Panther Party in making the 504 sit-ins a success that it was. That episode ran very long. Special thanks to Dev who helped us out, but I had so much fun with it.
Yeah, it was a great story.
Yeah, it wasn't a proper Black History Month story, but it was just too good to not do. But I've been trying to talk about the Black Panther Party in many ways. I started the conversation in episode 27 with the assassination of Fred Hampton, but I'm just slowly in my mind chipping away at their legacy. I want to do a mini. This is the mini that I'm doing now. It's just kind of going to be an overview of some of the things that the textbooks get wrong or omit usually, because I think that they don't get enough props.
No, I feel like not just textbooks. I just feel like American society in general just thinks that they're like this like violent, scary, angry group that is just like militant.
Yeah.
You know.
Mad for no reason.
Yeah.
When I was a kid at school learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday. How could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
I mentioned in episode 27, the How to Kill a Revolution episode, where I talked about the assassination of Fred Hampton by the Chicago PD together with the FBI. I mentioned that if they are discussed at all, and that is an if, they are done in a very misleading way, I think. They're talked about in a very cursory, like two sentence, a gross oversimplification, in my opinion. And I think it's really important because they have a lot of lessons for today's movements, especially the movement to confront systemic racism and police violence, but also the fight against capitalism. Like they were extremely socialist in their ideology, and like that does not get enough airtime. Mm-hmm. And I think that they understood intersectionality and coalition building, and these things are just critical to any collective action. And I just... more people need to know. So have you heard of, sorry, I'm like talking over you. I'm just so excited. I love talking about the Black Panther Party. So have you heard of Denzel Dowell?
Nope.
Is that name? Of course not. I hadn't either until I read Howard Zinn's talk about him. So he was an unarmed Black man who was lynched by the police in Richmond, California in 1967. But his story could have been pulled from the headlines today.
Yeah.
There was a report of a burglary. The cops show up. They're scared. You know what happens.
Yeah.
He is executed. He supposedly, according to them, ran and jumped a fence and was in the process of jumping another fence with a hammer in his hand, despite the fact that he had a limp from a previous car accident and couldn't run, let alone jump almost two fences, but sure.
And running away from them?
Yes.
So they were terrified.
Yes.
For every reason to be terrified.
Yes. He was running away with a hammer, which that made sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the Black Panther Party, this was their moment. They found this case and it became a rallying cry. they went to this part of California and they helped the family demand justice. And it was the first time that they had organized a campaign outside of Oakland. And it became a national press event because they wrote articles, they organized more protests. They went all the way to Richmond and they conducted their own investigation into Dowell's death. And they exposed police lies in a really embarrassing way.
Yeah.
It turned out that he was shot with his hands up. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a lot of police harassment too of the family, and they stopped that because they posted guards. They're like, you're not going to be running through threatening these people for telling the truth. Like, you're not going to be doing that. So on top of supporting the family, they helped other mothers in the community whose children were dealing with police violence and police abuse. And because of their efforts, they signed up hundreds of people to join the party. And then just the movement spread from there. Wow. And it spread throughout California and eventually would go overseas. Like, other people, other countries would be so inspired by the movement for liberation that they would start their own chapters around the world, which is pretty amazing. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. No. Wow, that's awesome.
Right? So this story, this is the foundation of the Black Panther Party. This should be in places outside of Howard Zinn's people's history.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be this hidden thing, because I think that people think that they just popped out of thin air. They were a response, you know, to what was happening at the time. So another thing that I think is left out of the debate when talking about the Black Panther Party is their socialism, and how they were really fighting for poor communities, poor Black communities specifically in the beginning. They wanted them to have access to decent housing. They're like, we shouldn't have to live in the slums. Like, we're Americans. Like, we should all have healthcare. We should all have education. Like, these are basics.
Yeah.
You know, that shouldn't be seen as fringe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And their ideas were really, really popular. I think a lot of textbooks, they like to hold up a very like whitewashed version of MLK and say anything to the left is like, you know, that's communism. That's just too far for your average person. Nope. They were really, really popular. It turns out basic human decency is is popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is an ABC.
Imagine that.
Imagine, right? There was an ABC poll done in 1970 that was, I guess it was only, it targeted just like Black people, but they're just like, it was basically like, can you get a load of these guys? They're crazy, right? They're like, no, actually, no, we like them. So
yeah,
a majority of people said that the Black Panther Party was, quote, most likely to increase the effectiveness of the Black liberation struggle. And two-thirds of people polled said that they had admiration for the party and the work that they were doing in the community. And this was taken in like peak COINTELPRO time.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, this is when the press, like the law enforcement, the FBI are all just united in claiming that, I mean, according to the FBI director at the time, J. Edgar Hoover, the Black Panthers were the greatest threat to the internal security of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And still, most Black folks were like, nope, like, we rock with them. They're trying to get us free.
Yeah.
Sawi. But yeah, I think now is a good little spot for a break. When we come back, we can talk about two of my favorite myths about the Black Panther Party.
So, have you ever thought about what would happen if your airline window popped out? Or if you could build a jetpack using only machine guns? Well, turns out you could, but you really shouldn't. Hi, I'm Jill Chacha, host of a podcast that's for folks who like learning about weird stuff. It's called, well, that's interesting. This is a comedy science-y show that tells the story behind the facts, and yeah, those stories are funny. It's the perfect way to learn and remember something, which is really useful now that we all have to make small talk again. Every week, I'll be joined with a guest who's coming in cold and learns everything in real time, just like you. Reactions are real, the facts are bizarre, and the laughter is plentiful. Listen to Well, That's Interesting wherever you do podcasts.
Okay, and we're back. So according to Howard Zinn, there are a few major textbooks that don't even mention the Black Panthers at
all. I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Really? Oh my God, they did so
much. No, I mean, like, look at what's happening in Florida right now. Like, removing any mention of Black history from any textbooks and that kind of thing. And look at the way a lot of news outlets and people are treating the BLM movement. Like, they want to act like it's too extreme to be included in anything mainstream. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I do know what you mean. But at the same time, this is the group that you're saying is the greatest threat. Like, you're not going to mention the greatest threat.
Well, because they know that if anybody, especially in this lens of history, if anyone actually looked into it, they'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So the textbooks that do, the popular textbooks, the ones written in Texas that do mention the Panthers, they associate them with violence and racial separatism. These are my two favorite myths. I found a quote from Howard Zinn's book. He is quoting another book called Teachers Curriculums Institute. History Alive! ! So in History Alive, Black power groups formed that embrace militant strategies and the use of violence. Organizations such as the Black Panthers rejected all things white and talked of building a separate Black nation. Both of these things are false. I mean, it's very just manipulative. Like, they ignore the fact that the Panthers were only in favor of violence used in self-defense.
Yes.
Like, this was violence in protecting themselves, like what we're supposed to do as Americans with guns, but you know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue if they were white.
No, not at all. They'd be standing their ground. Mm-hmm. They ignore the whole like we're protecting ourselves. And they also ignore that the Panthers formed as a result of just the civil rights movement. They kind of try to act like it's separate. But they evolved at the same time that the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, did as well. And they were allied with SNCC in the beginning in 1968. And their alliance only really lasted 5 months, but they all were responding to something that was happening at the time. Like, they didn't jump out of nothing.
Yeah.
And they learned a lot from working with SNCC. And the second myth is that the Panthers were anti-white. And if you listened to episode 27, you know that Fred Hampton was killed because he was working with a non-white multiracial coalition. He was working with the Puerto Rican Young Lords. He was working with the Young Patriots, who were a group of Southern white migrants. And he was working with other groups, like Chicano groups. He saw the power in a multiracial coalition all asking for the same thing, just to be treated like they were citizens. The Rainbow
Coalition, right?
Yeah, the Rainbow Coalition, exactly. Yeah. And this is why he was executed.
Yeah.
And he was not anti-white. And I think one of the most prevalent myths is thinking that being pro-Black means that you're anti-white. Like, no.
But that's, I mean, the people on the right love to use anything that's pro, you
binary.
Know, feminism is anti-male. It's they want everything to be super Black and white so that they can twist it.
Exactly. So the Black Panthers, they helped set up the Patriots. These were the white migrants from mostly like Appalachia. They helped them set up a community service program. They like went to their area and was like, this is how you support your community. Like, it's crazy. So they formed with the Patriots, they formed a committee that was called the Peace and Freedom Party. And they ran their own candidate for president in 1968. Have you heard of Eldridge Cleaver?
No.
Okay. I think I might have to do a scandal about him. But he was anti-war and anti-racist, and like he ran for the Democratic ticket and had no chance in hell. You just laugh.
Like, what?
Yeah, but they were really trying to just get the word out. They knew that he wasn't going to win, but it was important to them to put forward a candidate that they really believed in.
Yeah.
So history lessons in some place, they just, like I said, they kind of just erase or at the very least diminish the socialist ideology at the heart of the Black Panther Party. Mm-hmm. And they just want to talk about the violence, like you said, like, look at them with their guns. Aren't they so scary? Mm-hmm. Pearl Clutch.
Yeah.
And they like to minimize and say that it's only about police brutality without diving into the ideology that inspired this fight against police brutality. Like, they saw that it was all connected. And I think more clearly than any national civil rights organization, the Panthers linked the fight against racism with the fight for capitalism, the fight against capitalism. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. What? Who was that? Yeah. I was just body snatched. I'm not me. So as Huey Newton, I want to do a, I need to do an episode about him as well. But he explained in they had a magazine that was called the Black Panther Speak. This is a quote. "We realize that this country became very rich upon slavery and that slavery is capitalism in the extreme." And mm-hmm. he went on to say that we have two evils to fight, capitalism and racism, and we must destroy both, which, you know, facts.
Wow. Yeah.
And they knew, the Panthers knew, that Black people or any disadvantaged group of people could not achieve socialism on their own, and they had to work at building multiracial anti-capitalist coalitions, because that was the only way. This divide mm-hmm. and conquer, like, that's why they're winning, and that's why they were so into community building with other non-Black groups. Yeah. At the heart of their ideology was a push for education. You mentioned Florida. And that's part of why I'm doing this scandal, because there is still such a pushback against having a more honest review of a more honest take on the history of this country.
Yeah.
And they saw that back then. I mean, this has always been the fight. And they really thought that if people knew better, they would do better.
Yeah.
Which I think is true.
Yeah. Like,
if people can really understand the history in all of its complexities, like, we would behave differently.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't understand the idea of, like, the argument that, like, all these white parents are crying, like, "You're making my kid feel bad about being white." I'm like, why do you automatically think that your kid is going to identify with slave owners instead of abolitionists?
I know. I mean, they're saying more about themselves.
Exactly.
And how they're teaching their children to be. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And that's something that I don't think people really understand. Like, they don't really get that that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. You because you yourself identify with someone who enslaved people. You would, you know, if you could, you would enslave people today, probably.
I mean, that's how it feels sometimes.
Yeah.
So there are textbooks that unfairly blame the rise of the Black Panther Party as the reason why the civil rights movement ended, which is just truly absurd. Just ignoring the whole fact of the FBI being the FBI and destroying civil rights movements from within. Very few textbooks really like to talk about COINTELPRO. They're just like, oh, that was an illegal thing that the FBI did. And it's like, we can talk a little bit more about that, can't we? Mm-hmm. Can we just, let's expand. Let's unpack this.
Oopsie, don't.
Yeah, don't look over here. Just know that it was illegal and it's bad and we're not going to do it again. But like, no, we need to talk about these things.
Yeah.
So this is a quote from a scholar who I felt, again, all of my information basically came from Howard Zinn's book. So according to a scholar whose name is Ward Churchill, this is him talking about COINTELPRO in the myth that the Black Panther Party is the reason why the civil rights movement lost momentum. He said that the Black Panther Party was savaged by a campaign of political repression, which in terms of its sheer viciousness has few parallels in American history. Coordinated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and enlisting dozens of local police departments around the country, the assault left at least 30 Panthers dead, scores of others imprisoned after dubious convictions, and hundreds more suffering permanent physical or psychological damage. Simultaneously, the party was infiltrated at every level by agent provocateurs, all of them harnessed to the task of disrupting its internal functioning. Completing the package was a torrent of disinformation planted by the media to discredit the Panthers before the public, both personally and organizationally, thus isolating them from potential support. Like, they did all that shit. So, yeah, this fight continues today, and it feels just incredibly relevant with what you said, what's happening in Florida. When you sent me that meme of, like, the books being covered, like, I thought that, like, it took me a second to realize what that was and, like, why that was happening.
Yeah.
And, like, everything I see on Instagram, I'm like, this isn't real. Like, let me Snopes this. And I'm like, God damn it, it's real.
Florida is really, like, trying, saying hold my beer to themselves. They're like, we can out Florida, Florida.
Oh my God, that guy, I can't. So I just want to encourage listeners to pay attention to what's happening now and also learn more about the Black Panthers. They have a lot of knowledge to share with us and just, yeah, get curious about what we haven't learned. And I do plan on doing more episodes about the BPP. It's such a big, there's so many people and there's so many great scandals. And it's just, I need to just chip away at it slowly. Yeah. But yeah, if you are interested or if you've done some research on your own and there's a Black Panther fact that you want to share, drop it on Instagram when this episode comes out. They did a lot. And I could say so much more. I was going to talk about the freedom schools and the fact that they're the reason why kids have free lunch in the mornings. But I want to do that like as a story because there's a lot there with that one. Yeah. But I do want to end by saying that the party was not perfect. I mean, it's made up of humans.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do feel like I have to say that because maybe some people think, I don't know. But they did a lot. It was an organization that was run by straight men. So it was ripe with sexism. And it can be really hard for men to receive feedback, especially from women. So it was definitely bad in that respect. But I think toxic masculinity is like the strongest drug on earth. But they still did a lot of great things. And I don't think they get enough credit or admiration for the ways in which that they've changed our country for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The end.
Amazing. Thank you for telling that. I didn't know. I mean, I knew little bits and pieces of that just because of the Fred Hampton story you've already done.
Yeah.
Would you say episode 27?
27, yes.
Yeah. If you guys have not listened to that, you definitely need
to. It's one of my favorite episodes. It was, perhaps some of the work that I'm like most proud of.
Yeah, it's very good. But thank you for telling that story. It's so important, especially now with everything that's happening. Yeah. And happy Black History Month.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope everyone is celebrating appropriately.
Yes. Yeah. I, for some reason, was not thinking ahead when we recorded last month.
Me neither. And
my story next week will not be a Black History story. And I had one ready to go and I just like completely forgot.
Yeah.
I don't know. This has been a very hectic year.
Truly. And it's like the year just started and I feel like I've been on a treadmill for months.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for telling that. And thank you everyone for listening. This has been Tux Lurzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
Thank you to Dev. We could not do this without you.
No, we could not.
All right, guys. Goodbye. Bye. Thank you for listening to Beyond Reproach. Please note that we are not historians, we're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media and make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. And we also have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.